can go ahead and be seated, if you will. Find the envelope that's nearest to you, and it should be nearest to you on your seat, actually, that you have already handled it. I want to talk to you about this envelope for just a moment, because I want to give you time. We're going to get to the envelope later. We're going to use it later, but I want to give you time to be able to handle it now. Inside the envelope is a 3x5 card. Some of them are different colors. It's okay. It doesn't mean anything other than it's different colors. We want some things from you on this envelope and in this index card, so that when you come and give, you're giving us some of this information. We want a praise report, something the Lord has done. We like to hear the stories, so we want to hear that. We also want prayer requests from you. Now, when we, at the end of this day, they will have gone through and taken all these 3x5 cards, put them in a pile, and then this week I will personally go through every one of them. Then after I go through them, I divvy them up to and separate them and give them to our staff. And then they take them and they pray through these cards. They're praying for you. So if you want to write a name on there, it's not that everybody's going to see that. Just a few of us are going to see that. That way we know who we're praying for. You can put that on there. So we're looking for a praise report or a prayer request from you. We're also looking, if you have a gift that you're not bringing here today, like you want to meet with us and you've given stocks or you've given bonds, which we've had people do that, there's something you want to liquidate, and then once you liquidate it, you're going to give it to the church. You can let us know that, and we can be in contact with you. This came from you, not from leadership, because some of you have been doing this on your own, and you just made it aware to us that maybe we should tell you all what's going on. Some have already remembered us in their life insurance policies as a beneficiary. Some are telling us that we're putting Hope Church in our will, and we're going to remember the church through that way. So if you need help with estate planning, write that on the card. We'll get you connected with people who can help you do that. So we're going to need a phone number, a name, when it comes to that. But when you're giving today, not only if you have your gift with you, put it in this envelope. Also, tell me some information on that 3x5 card. Prayer requests, a praise report, something that you're doing, how you're going to give in the future, or how you're going to liquidate something or whatever, and then we'll be able to communicate with you on that. So I wanted you to hear that and then even get that out of the way so you have time during the service, and it doesn't bother me that you write during the service. But you'll have time to get all that together before we get to the end of it. But we want to prep for the Lord's Supper first. And I want to give you some logistics. We usually have it at the invitation. And to just educate you, the style we have in the invitation is called intinction. And intinction is you take the bread, you dip it into the drink, and you eat and remember his sacrifice. Well, we're not doing that today. Today we are going to serve you. And we're serving you, our serving you today is symbolic that the Lord has come to serve you too. So our serving you is a reflection of his service to us. Logistically, when the bread is passed out to you, hold it until we all get it, and then we'll all eat it together in unison and in harmony, which is symbolic to our fellowship of being united and being in harmony. And then the same when it comes to the cup, hold it, and then we'll take it together. And then as you just keep your empty cup, and you can throw it away as you leave today and go out into the lobby. So today I invite you to the table. And when I invite you to the table, I'm going to give you four things that we're going to look at today as I invite you to the table. When I invite you to the table today, I'm inviting you to look inward. I want you to look inward. There's a time of confession and repentance. I've said it all of my life and all of my preaching life. I've said it this way. There is where I am and there's where I need to be. And when I say I need to be, I don't mean in the world's context or even my personal context. It's his context. I'm always where I am, but where do I need to be with him? And I've said this because I do these things to help me. But you know, on your computer, when you scan it to see if there's a virus or if there's anything wrong with it, it can slow it down or it can corrupt files or whatever. Well, sin does exactly the same thing. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit searching you, I look at it as an antivirus program that's looking for malware and spyware and any kind of a hijacking virus or whatever it is that's going on. Let the Holy Spirit search you today and let him find what doesn't need to be there. And then when we invite you to the table, you're looking inward as a time of confession and repentance. Let it be the end of the journey of rebellion and disobedience for you. Let it stop today. Let any rebellion that you have against the Father, any disobedience that you have in the way that he has called you to live, end it today, and then embrace a life of obedience today. So when I invite you to the table, look inward. When I invite you to the table, I want you to look back. I want you to remember that Jesus is a gift. Paul says he's the indescribable gift. He's a gift from the Father. And in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Just the fact that it says the noun and the verb, he gave, is the fact that he is a gift to us. 1 John 4:9, it says, "Remember his sacrifice that he did in our place and for our sin." And as you look back, remember his obedience to the cross because he loves us. Romans 5:8 says that while we were sinners, his love for us was so strong that Christ died for us. And then Hebrews 12:1-2 says that he endured the cross with joy that was set before him. He endured the cross for me and for you. So we're not only looking inward, we're going to look back and realize what he has done for us. As I invite you to the table, I want you to look forward. All four Gospels, talking about the Last Supper, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, talk about a futuristic time with Jesus. He makes statements like this: I will not eat of this or drink of this until I eat and drink with you when the kingdom comes in eternity. At the Lord's Supper, Jesus is casting a future vision of one day we will eat and drink together, but it won't necessarily be here. And Paul sums that up in talking about the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11:26, because he says, when you eat and drink, when you eat the bread that represents the body and the cup, the drink which represents the blood, he says, we do this until he returns, until he comes again. So I want you to look in today as I invite you to the table. I want you to look back and see what the Lord has done for us. And then I want you to look to the future. I remember putting this together this week, and I thought, what a great segue into Advent, right? I even went, that's good right there. You know, that segue is awesome, moving into Advent. And when I say moving into Advent, I grew up just celebrating Christmas, and all I did was celebrate the birth of Jesus. But when we go through Advent, we're not just celebrating the birth of Jesus. We're looking at him when he came in flesh. We're going to look in his coming again. So Advent looks at his birth and then also his coming back again. So we're asking you to look forward when it comes to the Lord's Supper. And then lastly, I invite you to walk with Jesus. You know, I just told you he became flesh with us. He knew every temptation known to man. So just let your imagination go. He knows what it's like to live in this world like you and I live in this world. Except it said he knew no sin. You're going, hey, preacher, it's the 21st century. Jesus didn't handle the things that I handle. Yes, he did. He said, the scripture says he knew every temptation that is known to mankind, but yet he did not sin. So he knows how we feel. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what we go through. And the invitation to the table is an invitation for you to be in fellowship with him. Luke 24:30-35 is a story about two men walking on the road. It's called The Road to Emmaus. And on the road to Emmaus, they're chatting with Jesus. Now, Jesus has already been raised from the dead. If you remember Scripture, he's on earth for 40 days after the resurrection. He doesn't automatically ascend to heaven. So he appeared to these people, to these two men. And they're chatting with him, and they do not recognize that he's Jesus. It says they sit down to eat and break bread together, and they're breaking bread together, and the light bulb comes on in their head. And they realize that we're with the Lord. And the Lord revealed himself to them. And it said they went back and told the 11 other disciples about, we know that he's risen, just like Simon Peter said, he's risen. And they said their hearts were on fire. Their hearts were ablaze because they were in fellowship with Jesus. And that's exactly the way I want you to walk out of here today. I don't know how you came in here today, but I want you coming to the table, looking inward. Let's take care of what we need to take care of. The Holy Spirit has been highlighting things before you even got here today that he wants to take care of. So look inward, and then let's look back and remember his sacrifice. Let's do that. And then let's look to the future, to his coming again. And we're going to eat and drink and remember him until he returns. And then we're going to walk with him. It's an invitation to walk with him. We're in fellowship with him, and we ask him to set our hearts ablaze today. So if you're serving today, at the table, we ask that you come now, if you'll do that, and make your way here. I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads with me, if you will do that. And let's just pray. Let's just pray about what you need to do inwardly. What is the Lord highlighting in your life? What is he doing? What is he asking you? Where's your rebellion? Where's your disobedience? Let's just check that today. Get rid of it. Because I invite you to look in. Let's look back and let's thank him for what he's done. Just give him thanks for that, his sacrifice. And then let's look to the future. And let's even pray, Lord, come quickly. Just come quickly. And then let's look at him. I hope and pray you're not walking with Jesus and you don't recognize him. I hope and pray you're walking with him and you do recognize him. And if your heart's not on fire for him today in relationship, will you ask him to set it ablaze today? To set your soul on fire as a hymn I grew up with in the church. So just to make your heart on fire, ask him to do that today. We are thankful for his presence, and we are thankful for his sacrifice. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. On that night, he took bread and he broke the bread. He said, this bread represents my body, which is given to you. And before they passed it out to each of the disciples, they gave thanks. Let's bow and give thanks for his body that was given for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your body was given in our place. You came and you became flesh. And you lived a life so that you would know how we live. So, Lord, you know what to do. You know exactly what to do in all of our lives. And we ask you to perform that, Lord, which is lacking, to fill us and to set our hearts on fire. And, Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, the gift of Jesus. And, Jesus, we thank you for your body enduring the cross, the punishment that it took, and you did it in our place. And we say thanks. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. There are a lot of reasons why Jesus took bread. One of the reasons is that they use bread every day there. If you go to Israel today, every meal you have is going to be bread present. And it was a daily commodity. I really believe just simple teaching was that as they ate bread from this day on, they would remember the Last Supper they had with him, and that he said, this bread represents his body. It represents his body also because he became flesh for us. He came out of heaven and became flesh. We've already talked about knowing our temptations. And I'm telling you, some of you are out there thinking very analytically, there's no way he knows the temptations of the 21st century. Oh, yes, he does. And he knows what it is to be tempted as a human, as a man. Scripture even says he gives you a way of escape out of that. He knows it so well. Corinthians, Paul wrote that he gives you a way out of that if you'll just take it out of that temptation. So he uses bread to teach about his body. Also, I think he put some things together. He was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is two Hebrew words meaning house of bread. And from the house of bread was born the bread of life. I think he used bread to just put those two teachings together, that you need more than physical bread. You need me. I'm the bread of life. And you can't live life well without me. You can live without him, but you can't live life well without him. So he said, this is my body which is given to you. And he said, when you eat it, he said, remember my body and my sacrifice. Would you take, eat, and remember him? On that same night, he took the drink, and he said, this drink represents my blood being shed. He said, it represents forgiveness of sin and the freedom that you have in Christ. And before he gave it to his disciples, they gave thanks. Let's give thanks for his shed blood. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to us. We thank you, Lord, that he's that indescribable gift. And we thank you that not only was his body given, it went another step further. His blood was shed. And Lord, we know that blood has cleansed us and taken away the stain of our sin, our rebellion, our disobedience, and has made us white as snow. And we thank you that the shed blood means I can be forgiven and free. Thank you, Lord, for coming, for paying the penalty of my sin and our sin and doing it in our place. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. There is something that Jesus knows that you and I are learning. And he knows that your life can't stand on the foundation of sin. He knows that. It's going to crumble. I mean, just some of us have glamorized the life of the rich and the famous, haven't we? It's crumbling right before our eyes. Even government, in some ways, is crumbling right before our eyes. And that's what it says that his kingdom in that song says knows no end. There's a lot of things that you and I have secretly desired in our life to be at that level of living, and it's all based on a foundation of sin, and I'm going to say all of it, but most of it, and you're just watching it crumble. He knows that. And you and I, we deserve our disobedience, our rebellion. We deserve death, but his love and his grace and his mercy said something else. Said, no, I'm going to show them how much I love them. I'm going to take their punishment for them. So we remembered his body that was given, tortured really, chained in every way imaginable. But he said, I'm also going to shed my blood so they can be clean, we can be forgiven, and we can be free. So remember his sacrifice, his shed blood, take, drink, and remember. Thank you all. You can be seated. I want to say thanks to all who help set up today and put everything together. I thank you for that. Now we're going to another segment of our service today, and that's the Joash chest in a time of giving. There you go, Denny. Denny asked to borrow the tractor down in the shed because it's got a big bucket on it. He said he's given so much it needs to be in that bucket today. So I said, may your tribe increase, Denny. May your tribe increase. I remember Drew's first service with us when we were in the middle school was a day we had these random baptisms. Do you all remember that day by any chance? We were baptizing people, and I just made the statement. I said, if anybody's here and needs to be baptized, just come on. And we really had literally had people running to the altar to be baptized. And They didn't have a change of clothes. They were going to have to go home wet, you know. We didn't have any of that for them. And one guy got ready to take his billfold out of his pocket. And I said, no, leave that in there. We need to baptize that too. I said, we need to take care of that all at one lick. Listen, I want to be preacher, teacher, pastor for a moment. Do you really expect me to teach you about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and dodge the area of giving in your life? Do you really expect me to do that? I mean, do you really tell me that we surrender everything when we follow Jesus, and in your mind you're going, everything but my finances? I mean, do you really expect me, because we get accused, the preachers and pastors in the church get accused that all we want is your money. I don't want your money. He wants your heart. And when he has your heart, he'll have your money too, you know? And let me be honest with you. He only asks us to really give 10% and whatever he asks above that. I mean, he's letting us have 90% of it. And the truth of it is, you'll live more full off that 90% than if you have the whole 100. But I'm going to ask you, do you really expect me as a preacher to lead you physically, spiritually, emotionally in how you follow the Lord and the gospel? And do you really expect for me to maneuver around and never mention to you all about giving? I've never in my life, 57 years, seen a church exist off 10% giving. At the best, me and you have seen churches exist off 2 and 3% giving. And can you imagine what churches would be able to do? And I mean even taking over governmental things like taking care of the poor and everything else. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then there's people who say, well, I don't want to give, Pastor Jeff, because I don't want my money to just keep the power on at the building, you know? Or to keep gas in the lawnmowers. And I'm going to tell you this, and you may not believe me, and it's okay if you don't. Drew and staff laugh at me. If I believe it, it doesn't matter who else doesn't believe it, does it, Drew? But we keep things looking neat around here. And you know why? Because people pass by this place. And I've heard this a million times. I can be having a bad day, and I look over at y'all's property, and it's like the Holy Spirit reaches out and grabs me. I've heard that over and over and over and over again. So we have a building, and it's used 6 days a week, sometimes 4 nights a week, sometimes 4 and 5 nights, day and night. We don't just use it a few hours a week, like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's used day and night. So what you're doing here is we're literally, except for nighttime when you're sleeping, we're training children, we're praying, we're in discipleship, we're teaching the Word of God, something in this building, almost 7 days a week. 7 days a week. So your giving is important to the life and the ministry of this church. And I thank you in advance for your giving, but don't expect me to dodge that area of your life because you don't like it when I talk about it. Okay? I've got to teach you and I've got to train you. You know, Scripture even says in Malachi that when I tithe, he says he opens up heaven and he pours heaven down. Who in here doesn't want heaven poured down on them? Who doesn't want that? And he says, I will do that. You know, it's the only time he tells me and you to test him is when it comes to our money. And that's where we become the most sheltered in our life, which really says something about where our heart is and where our heart is not. So don't expect me to be your pastor and teach you to walk with Jesus in all these ways of life and not expect to handle the fact of your giving. And today when you give, we use the Joash chest. And scripturally, I'm not going to read it all to you. You can find it in 2 Kings 12. It's been on that pamphlet that I've been telling you to pick up here for the last few weeks. It is also in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and following. And there was a priest who took the chest. And Joash was the king. And the priest took the chest. He drilled a hole in the top of it. And he put it out. And it was to rebuild the temple and do the repair work and whatever needed to happen. And it said there were people who attended the chest because people gave so much that the chest got full and they had to take it out so other people could fill it up. And I will be peering in there today as you're giving to see if that fills up. And so we took this from the church in Germantown outside of Memphis. And it's a church that Adrian Rogers pastored. It's called Bellevue. And we learned this many years ago from them, and we've been practicing it ever since. This offering today is a time for you to catch up on your offerings. You've been traveling, you've been away, and it's just a time for you to be able to give. We recognize that. And if you've been blessed, it's a time for you to be able to bless. I said this as a word of knowledge in the early service, and I mean it when I say this. If I were a businessman, personally, not only would I tithe off what I made as a worker in my business, but I would also let my business tithe. And I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just telling you that would be my business plan. My business plan would not only to me to give personally, but whatever business I had that I operated, I would let my business honor the Lord too. And I am a fan of Chick-fil-A, but I don't want you to laugh at that. The Truett Cathy, and I used that in a sermon not too long ago, he runs his business on kingdom principles. And I'm not saying it's a perfect place, but they're closed on Sunday, and then that's when the devil tells us to eat at Chick-fil-A almost every day, right? It's on Sunday. I'm going, man, I love a Chick-fil-A, and it's Sunday, and it's closed, you know? But he honors the Lord in that, and he honors the Lord in his business and the way he treats his employees. And you remember when he was under scrutiny a few years ago and everybody was boycotting them? Do you know their sales went through the roof during that time? Just living under a kingdom principle. And I want you to live under those same kingdom principles, not because I get to receive from you, but because I want you to know your God at that level. I want you to trust him on that level. And so maybe the Lord's blessed your business and you're thinking, I need to be able to bless my church even through my business. And that's even away from you personally. That's your business doing that. I know if I was doing that, that would be my business plan. And you do whatever you want to in that, but that's the way I would do it if I had my own business. So in that, with the Joash chest, it's a time of helping us. We've got things we need to repair. There are things we need here because of its use on our buildings and our land. But it's also a time for you to catch up. It's also a time for you to bless your church. I'm going to ask our counselors, you give the way you need to, but also find your spot in the altar as well. And there may be people as they give or when they finish giving, they need prayer. They're in a decision time of their life, and they just need God's wisdom, and they need somebody, a brother or sister, to pray with them. You come and do that. You've had time to write in your envelope what you need to write. We're not going to do this row by row. It's just you come, take your time. We're in no hurry. The band's going to lead us in worship while we give. Let me tell you to go out of your way and encourage one another. You're going to be in line with folk or whatever, but give somebody a hug. Tell them you love them. Let it be a sweet fellowship even as you give today, as you do that. And I see the Smiths. It's good to see you all. God bless you for coming back and being with us today. Great members of our church that have moved away and they're back visiting today. I'm hoping you're moving back, but I don't. And we'll take you, all right, if you'll move on back. But it's good to have you here today, and I want to thank you in advance for giving. The more you give, the more we're able to do when it comes to ministry in our life. I'm going to tell you, we don't keep a huge reserve. There have been times we've had $500 in the bank, and you never did see us sweat. You never did see us ask for anything special. And you're thinking, well, you had $500, but you probably had this reserve over here. No, we didn't have that reserve over there. There have been many times where you've had far more in your checking account than we had in ours, because we're not a bank and we're not a business. We're church, and we operate on that. So as you bless us, it's going to help us do what we need to do, but it also is a continue of us blessing other people. And I pray that you remember that. So now it's time. Let's bless our church today. And I hope you're thankful for your church. I hope it means something to you. And I hope it's blessed you. Okay? So let's stand, take your time, come give, honor the Lord, and thank you in advance for your giving today.